Today's scripture reading is taken from Philemon 8 to 20. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion but out of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Somehow I feel that because Nick has done such a good job, right, I can just get down and we can wrap up. Well, the Christian community, that is the church, is a gathering of sinners who unfortunately still sin. Misunderstandings happen, sharp words and criticism can be used. And if nothing is done, the result can be serious conflict. And if the conflict is not addressed, the result can be serious disunity. Yet, we are called as children of God to have transformed hearts, which ought to transform our relationships. So today, as Nick has taken us through a whirlwind tour already, today we look at the letter from Apostle Paul and his protege, Timothy, to a man named Philemon, who was a Christian who lived in the city of Colossae. And the point of this letter was, of course, to seek to bring about reconciliation and thus restoration of relationship, which is a most vital foundation for Christian community. And the person at the center of the controversy? Well, this person's name was Onesimus. And Onesimus was not some random guy, because as Nick pointed out earlier, Onesimus was one of Philemon's slaves. But Onesimus had run away, possibly having stolen from his master in order to make his way. And in ancient Rome, this would have been a most dreadful offense. Stealing from one's master was bad enough, but running away would have been even worse, because certainly in the ancient Roman Empire, laws were terribly strict, and offenses like these would incur severe penalties, even the possibility of death. But this morning's focus is not on the point of the evils of slavery. That will need to be another time. This morning's focus is that of the necessity of reconciliation, especially in the Christian community. And so before we go further, let us pray. If you're able to, I want to invite you to stand and let's join our hearts in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, as we study your word this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our minds, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And so as we look at the text, perhaps a question is, have you wondered about the meaning of names? For instance, the name of the street that our church is presently located on, Princep Street, right? So the name Princep is derived from the Latin word princeps, which means first, which means foremost. But then there is the name of a street in Singapore, which is actually First Street. It's somewhere in Siglap, nowhere in the CBD. There is a place in Siglap called First Street. So if you put two and two together, perhaps our street name may not have been intended to mean First Street after all, even though it'd be nice to be first, right? We are not apparently intended to be named First Street. So looking further, we find that indeed Princep Street was originally named Flint Street, but then renamed Princep Street by the municipal authorities in March 1858 after the judge advocate of India, who was named Charles Robert Princep, a member of the very notable British Princep family. And it seems we were not intended to be named First Street or Foremost Street after all, but rather simply to honour Charles Robert Princep, at that time the judge advocate of India. So what about the name Onesimus? Well, the Bible study guide, which we are using for the Christian Community series, tells us that the name Onesimus means useful or beneficial. However, as we can tell from the reading of this letter, from the moment that Onesimus stole and even ran away from his master, that useful Onesimus now became useless. Thus, you find that the Apostle Paul actually uses what I think is an intentional play on words with this name when he writes to Philemon, formerly he was useless to you because he stole, because he ran away, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. In addition, Bible commentators point out that there could be a further play on the sound of the words, because the word useless in the Greek is a krestos, which sounds a lot like the Greek a Christos, which is without Christ. The useless person is without Christ. Similarly, eukrestos, as in very useful, sounds very much like eukrestos, full of Christ, suggesting that Onesimus has become a good Christian, eukrestos, in other words, full of Christ. And the point of all of this is that it seems that Paul intentionally used a play on words to soften the appeal to Philemon, to remind Philemon of Onesimus' conversion to Christ under Paul. Once he was a useless fugitive slave, but now Onesimus had become tremendously useful through the saving grace of God. Once he was a rebellious man, but now Onesimus had gone from being without Christ to being a committed Christian, reflecting Christ through the transformative grace of God. Onesimus' heart was indeed transformed. Question: how are we all like Onesimus? How are we all like Onesimus? I think the truth is, we are all Onesimuses. Because the scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like Onesimus, we each have rebelled and gone our own way. Isaiah tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We were useless in sin and deserving of punishment for our sin. We feared returning home to our master. We felt ashamed. We felt worthless. We felt rejected. But God in his grace reached down and called us by grace. For Onesimus, it was through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. As he writes to Philemon, I appeal to you for my child, my spiritual child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Brothers and sisters, for each one of us, I know God has encountered you in a special way. And perhaps this is the time to give thanks to the Lord for the person or the persons whom God used to lead you to Christ. And for those of us who may not have yet encountered Christ, perhaps this is the moment to ask the Lord for mercy to act in our lives. Because Christ our Lord stepped in as substitute, taking for us all the punishment we deserved, and because of Christ's work, he has wiped the slate clean. He has clothed us with his righteousness, and we are invited to return home to the Father without fear, without rejection, with full acceptance, covered by the perfect work of Christ. And now, as ones who are forgiven, the letter to Philemon calls us to forgive. So today there is no African story, all right? But instead, I share with you a Spanish story, which told of a young man named Paco. So Paco was kicked out of his home by his father for something apparently foolish that he did or he said. Actually, no one could be sure anymore what Paco did. But as a result, Paco was wandering the streets of Madrid, wondering how he could survive. Perhaps, he thought, he could make a living by apprenticing himself to a bullfighter. To learn the profession of bullfighting, because it was said that a good bullfighter could earn good money. I think what is not said is that the lousy bullfighter may not go home. But at home, Paco's father was remorseful. Paco's father knew in his heart that he really, really, really shouldn't have kicked Paco out in his anger. He was disappointed with himself and he was deeply remorseful. In repentance and even in desperation, because how in the world could he wander the streets of the huge city of Madrid to look for Paco? And so the father decided to take out an advertisement in the local newspaper, which read, Paco, please meet me in front of the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. On Tuesday, at noon, some 800 young men named Paco gathered at the entrance of the Hotel Montana, each one waiting for their father, each one wanting the forgiveness they never thought was possible. You see, Jesus tells us in the Lord's Prayer to ask the Lord to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because we have been forgiven, the epistle to Philemon calls us to forgive. From Paul's letter to Philemon, we know that Philemon was wronged. But the Apostle Paul tried to help Philemon see a different perspective, that God is always at work in each one of our lives. And thus, from God's lenses, as Paul used the divine passive in verse 15, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. The divine passive ascribes the action to God at work behind the scenes. And so for Onesimus and Philemon, how does it play out? It plays out like that. Even though Onesimus ran away from Philemon, even though Onesimus had committed a crime or crimes against Philemon, it seems in God's economy, in God's sovereignty, God in his wisdom had permitted this to happen for good. Sometimes it's very hard for us to see it. But if you see the footnotes in your ESV with regards to this verse, Philemon 15, you find that there is a reference to Joseph's story. So it seems the Apostle Paul invited Philemon to consider the parallel that God in his wisdom had allowed the situation for Joseph to be sold into slavery in Egypt, preserving him through imprisonment, preserving him through false accusations, so that one day Joseph might be instrumental in preserving life and even to preserve the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the patriarchs of Israel, even as he served as Pharaoh's prime minister, as it were. We know Philemon was wronged, probably even stolen from him. That is why Paul writes, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. In a sense, brothers and sisters, can you see it? The Apostle Paul's payment for all of Onesimus' debts almost parallels Christ's payment for our sins. Did the Apostle Paul need to pay for Onesimus' debt? Don't think so. Similarly, did Christ need to pay for our sins? Yet in his grace, yet in his mercy, yet in his love, Christ paid the price for our sin. By law, Philemon had Onesimus' future in his hands. By law, Philemon could have Onesimus jailed or even executed. But Paul wanted Philemon to know that Onesimus was now a changed man. His heart had been transformed. And further, Paul wanted to remind Philemon that he himself owed his own spiritual life, his own salvation story, to Paul's evangelistic efforts, as he writes, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Friends, the forgiven forgive. So Paul wrote this letter to appeal to Philemon, to plead to Philemon, as it were, to willingly restore Onesimus to a forgiven place of brotherhood and even useful service. True forgiveness, of course, cannot be demanded. But true forgiveness needs to be given. Because forgiveness is not just a therapeutic way of detaching ourselves from those who have harmed us. True forgiveness cancels the debt. But at the same time, true forgiveness does not eliminate consequences. Justice entrusted into God's hands still has its place. But true forgiveness releases the desire to get even while being clear about what has happened and even understanding its true significance. Some people call this slow forgiveness because there may be time needed to grieve the loss of what might have been. There might be time needed to process the violation. And forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation needs to be earned. That trust needs to be rebuilt over time. And here we find that Paul was asking Philemon to allow his own heart to be transformed, to permit forgiveness and reconciliation to begin, so that the relationship between him and Onesimus might be transformed. My dear brothers and sisters, we are all Onesimus because we all have betrayed God, rebelled against God, and therefore become useless to God. For all of us have sinned, and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And it is only because of the perfect life, it is only because of the sacrificial death, it is only because of the triumphant resurrection of Christ, are we brought from death to life. And so because of Christ, we are changed from useless to useful. And because of Christ, we are no longer runaways, no longer fugitives, but children of the Most High God. And so in Christ, we find our redeemed selves as Onesimuses of God, with hearts transformed, and thus with relationships transformed, with our home in his kingdom and our future as heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Through Christ and his forgiveness, we are redeemed to be who we were created to be. Because of the work of Christ, because of the love of Christ, the Onesimuses of the world and the Pacos of the world are welcome to come home. So at the end of the letter, we find greetings from the Apostle Paul's co-workers and a concluding blessing. But I was looking quite hard, but I couldn't find any postscript. I really wish there was a postscript, because did Philemon forgive and reconcile with Onesimus? Do you know? What actually happened to Onesimus after this letter? The epistle to Philemon did not say. Scripture seems to remain silent, or does it? Because there is a tiny little encouraging clue if you read the letter to the Colossian church. You notice that a person named Onesimus is included in Colossians 4:9. Described as a co-worker in Christ, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Is this the same Onesimus who was transformed from a useless to a useful person, who was transformed from a Christless rebel to a faithful Christian? And so perhaps church tradition has something to encourage us with. See, there was this person called Ignatius of Antioch. He was a disciple of the Apostle John, a colleague of the more famous church father, Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna. So Ignatius sheds some light on Onesimus' later life, we think. Because in his various letters to various churches, Ignatius of Antioch refers to a person named Onesimus as a faithful servant of Christ. and the timelines seem to match. He wrote in various letters that Onesimus served as Bishop of Ephesus and was even instrumental in producing that first collection of Paul's letters, intentionally including the letter to Philemon. So interestingly, John Knox, Reformed theologian and minister, leader of the Protestant Reformation in Scotland, reflected, let's have the next slide. Onesimus played a major role in ensuring the letter to Philemon was included with Paul's letters and scriptures. And his voice as a bishop carried weight. I think Onesimus intentionally included the letter to Philemon in the canon of scripture because A, the Apostle Paul was instrumental in leading him to Christ. B, the Apostle Paul helped to secure his forgiveness and release from slavery, giving him an undeserved second chance. And so C, in return, he, knowing that the letter was truly from Paul, an authentic letter, included it in the canon of scripture to ensure that others could learn from Paul, who had shaped his own life. Brothers and sisters, we are all like Onesimus, lost in sin, lost in shame, seeking to flee, but afraid because there is nowhere to flee to. And because of Christ our Lord, we were transformed from useless to useful. Because there's power in the gospel to redeem, to restore, and to renew. And so we are called to invite God's Spirit to help us transform our relationships, forgiving one another, even reconciling with each other. Because in God's kingdom, there is no distinction between slave and free, but we are all one in Him. I'd like to invite the musicians to come up because maybe we'll spend a couple of moments to reflect on what God is speaking to us today. As the musicians play something, why don't we bring this time to the Lord in silence? Whom do I need forgiveness from? Whom do I need to forgive? God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your gracious and indescribable gift in Christ our Lord, who redeemed us for yourself, wiping the slate clean, drawing us to yourself, clothing us with your righteousness, thus making what is useless useful. And so, Father, for those who have been forgiven, help us forgive. As your Son, our Lord Jesus, taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Transform our hearts, Lord. Transform our relationships. For your name's sake. Amen.